Well, when you hear the Pep Band play, that means we have another edition of Crunch Time here at your hometown radio station, Eagle Country 99.3. I'm your host, Double T, Travis Thayer. Crunch Time, presented, of course, by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. Go online to schedule your next appointment or learn more at OrthoSensi.com. That is OrthoCincy.com. Thank you for joining me on this Monday evening. Plenty to get to on tonight's show. Before we jump into the sports stuff, I do want to mention that OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine is going to be hosting a hiring event tomorrow from 6 to 8 p.m. at their Edgewood office in Northern Kentucky. They are seeking talented individuals for full and part-time direct hire positions in their physician clinics, physical therapy centers, and their business office in Kentucky. And we do have more information about the hiring event over at EagleCountryOnline.com. You will need to register online for that event. You can also view all the available jobs at OrthoCincy.com. So with that, we will jump into the show tonight. No guest on the show, but still plenty to get to in hometown sports as we are well into the fall high school sports season. Want to start in high school football and do a little EIAC football roundup. Now, eight teams in the EIAC, and five of those are 3-1 to start the season. That includes East Central, South Dearborn, Lawrenceburg, Franklin County, and Batesville. You have Greensburg that is 1-1 on the season, and they haven't played in 2 weeks due to a COVID-19 situation within the Greensburg Community School Corporation. They should be back in action this Friday. And then you have Rushville and Connersville struggling this season, both 0-4. Over the weekend, there were some conference games for the first time this season. East Central was a 37-8 winner over Franklin County. You had South Dearborn with the big 55-8 win over Connersville on their homecoming night. And Batesville was a 44-0 winner over Rushville. So all of those teams improving to 1-0 in the conference. Of course, the IAC is split into two divisions, so we'll look at the standings going into Week 5. It's hard to believe that we've already, or we're coming up on the mid-season point, regular season point in high school football, but on that 3A side, you have Batesville, Lawrenceburg, Greensburg, and Rushville. Batesville is the only team that has a win in the conference right now with that win over Rushville this past weekend. Lawrenceburg and Greensburg were supposed to play on Friday, canceled due to that COVID situation I mentioned with Greensburg, so neither one of those teams have played a conference game yet. On the 4A division side, you have East Central and South Dearborn, both 1-1. Franklin County is 1-1, and Connersville is 0-2. We'll see some crossover games this Friday in the EIAC. So while they will be playing, everyone will be playing an EIAC opponent. None of the games will actually go down as conference games. You'll have East Central at Batesville, South Dearborn at Greensburg, Connersville at Rushville, and Franklin County at Lawrenceburg, which will be our feature game of the week this Friday, a sectional championship rematch from last year. We'll have more on that game coming up a little bit later on in the show. But kind of wanted to go through and take a team-by-team breakdown of the teams that we cover the most here in southeastern Indiana. That'd be South Dearborn, East Central, Lawrenceburg, and Milan. And this past Friday, we were out in Aurora as South Dearborn was hosting their homecoming night, taking on Connersville, their first conference game of the year. And it was a big win for South Dearborn. Plenty of points put up on the board and sent everybody home happy with that 55-8 win. And you could make the case that the South Dearborn Knights should be 4-0 this season. I think if you talk to their coaching staff and players, they probably believe that they should be 4-0 had it not been for the 29-26 loss to Madison in Week 2. The Knights actually held a 12-point lead at two different points in that game. They were up 19-7 at halftime, and then were up 12 points in the fourth quarter. But Caden Oliver, two touchdowns late in the fourth to give the Cubs the three-point win. South Dearborn has bounced back since that Week 2 loss, though, with two straight wins. They had a hard-fought 24-17 win over Batesville, and then that destruction of Connersville on Friday night. And congratulations is going out to senior running back C.J. Rogers. You probably already read the story and heard about it a couple times or three, but he broke the South Dearborn single-game rushing record. And listen to this stat line, 13 carries. That's all it took for him to break the single-game rushing record, 326 yards and five touchdowns in that blowout win. 25 yards per carry for CJ in that game. His longest touchdown run was a 71-yarder. His other four touchdown runs of the 42-yard variety, 13 yards, 59, and 30. So pretty much every time CJ touched the ball in that game, he was a threat to take it the distance. And on the season thus far, he has been the best running back in the area, 79 carries for 790 yards. Easy math there, 10 yards per carry. That is absolutely getting it done. And CJ has found the end zone 10 times for South Dearborn, and they will need him to continue his strong play the rest of the season as they chase an EIAC championship, and maybe even more than that down the road. We can talk a little bit about that later on in the show. Another interesting development in that Connersville game is we saw sophomore Adam Kunkel get the start at quarterback, and he played very, very well, going 10 of 12 with 159 yards and three touchdowns, two of those coming to Reese Willoughby, who is really stood out as their top target down the field. Austin Ballard has been very good for them in recent memory as well. Logan Tease had come into the season as the starter, and we don't know what the situation is there at quarterback. Don't want to get into it too much and call it a quarterback controversy, but obviously they want to get some consistency out of that position. And so far, Kunkel, even though his sample size has been a little bit smaller, he has been more efficient at quarterback, completing 66% of his passes. He's only attempted 21 passes, but he is still thrown for close to 200 yards and four touchdowns with only one interception in just a couple games of action. For Logan Tease, his sample size a little bit larger, 67 pass attempts, only completing 43% of those passes, near 500 yards, six touchdowns, and two interceptions. So from what I see, I think both young men have played pretty well for South Dearborn, and no matter who is out there taking the snaps, they have some talented players that can obviously get the job done, as both of those young men have led the Knights to wins this season. So I would say a good problem to have, if you want to even call it a problem, there at South Dearborn, as they have a nice team this year, and right now they're going to be facing their first road game of this season this Friday at Greensburg. The Pirates haven't played since August 27th. They did lose their last game to Triton Central 35-7. It'll be interesting to see what their conditioning level is like, having not played the last 2 weeks. I'm sure those kids have been doing things on their own, as the athletic facilities have actually been closed down the last 2 weeks as they have been dealing with the COVID-19 situation as an entire school there at Greensburg High School. So this is going to be a tough one for Greensburg, jumping back into action after the layoff. If you follow the John Harrell site, he does have the game predicted to be a South Dearborn win, 38-24. And so far, that's pretty much right on the money with what the Knights have been averaging per game. They're averaging 40 points per game. That's fourth in Class 4A. They're allowing just around 20 points per game. I know, talking to Coach Ballard a couple weeks ago leading into that Madison game, that's a number they want to see continuing to go down as the season goes along. This is a team that prides themselves on playing really, really exceptional defense, and I think they would love to see that number closer to two touchdowns per game, or maybe even less, if at all possible. But South Dearborn off to a nice start. First four games at home this year. They go 3-1. Could very well have been 4-0 if it wasn't for that late loss to Madison. But I think they got to be feeling pretty good after the last 2 weeks, and where they're heading with C.J. Rogers as their lead back. Just lean on him and that big offensive line, and good things could be to come for the South Dearborn Knights. And if you do want to go back and listen to the South Dearborn Connersville game and hear that record-breaking performance from C.J. Rogers, I also got to give a lot of credit to the offensive line for paving the way. They're just as much a part of that record as C.J. was, but we do have the game loaded up for you over at EagleCountryOnline.com. Next up, we want to talk about the East Central Trojans, another one of those EIAC teams that is 3-1 on the season, and they've made what looked to be a very tough schedule on paper look fairly easy over the first four games. When you see Lawrenceburg, Harrison lined up as your first two games, you think, oh man, that's pretty tough out the gate. And you got Moeller in there in Franklin County as well. They're going to play games against Garen Catholic and Indianapolis Roncalli later in the season. So very tough schedule for East Central, but they came out, they beat Lawrenceburg handedly. They crushed Harrison. Pretty big win over Franklin County this past Friday. Their only loss was the 39-22 loss to Moeller on September 3rd. If you look at that game, who knows? If Josh Ringer is healthy and playing in that game, maybe that makes that game a little bit closer. I don't want to say that that should have been a win for East Central. Muller very, very good this year, but certainly you can see the talent level there if you've seen the Trojans play. Cole Burton, a sophomore quarterback starting for the first time this year, has stepped in and done a really nice job. He's thrown for 363 yards thus far, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. Completion percentage, 46%, so I know he, Coach Miners, the rest of the staff, they're going to want to see that go up a little bit as the season progresses, but as he gets more games under his belt, starts to feel even more comfortable back there in the pocket, I think you will see that percentage go up. He certainly has some nice targets to throw the ball to down the field. Eli Aston, Nate Busing, and Ryan Brotherton have kind of stepped up as that trio at wide receiver, so we'll see those guys making some plays as the season goes on. Trojans have been without star running back Josh Ringer for 2.5 games, injured his ankle in the 42-0 win over Harrison. He was averaging nearly 9 yards a carry when he went down and over 100 yards per game. But got to give credit where credit's due to Trey Omer. He has certainly stepped up and played well. 234 yards rushing, 2 touchdowns over 3 games. And the offensive line doing a nice job paving the way for him to run through some big holes. And he is a downhill physical runner. The game I got to see them play against Harrison when he did come into the game for Ringer, he was finding the hole quick and he was going straight downfield, wasn't cutting around too much. He wants to run through you and then run past you. Defensively, the Trojans, they've been really, really good this year, allowing 13 points per game. That's 7th best in Class 4A. That's something we've come to expect in St. Leon. They're averaging around 6 or 7 tackles for loss a game, so they live in the opponent's backfield. They've had 8 takeaways in 4 games, so easy math there. Taking the ball away from their opponents 2 times a game. This past week, what they did to Franklin County, I can't state this enough how amazing this East Central defense can be, as they held Franklin County to 116 yards of total offense. Franklin County coming into that game was averaging over 50 points per game. It's now down to 45 points per game, but they certainly have an explosive offense. Brady Moorhead's been doing a nice job at quarterback as a junior. They got Bridger Bolos, Jacob Schatzel, among others that are their big playmakers, and for East Central to hold them to just over 100 yards of total offense, absolutely getting it done. Up next for the Trojans is Batesville. Their defense has been pretty stingy this year as well. 10 points per game, 7 takeaways. But offensively, the Bulldogs, who are also 3-1, they've struggled a bit over their 4 games. When they played Milan and South Dearborn, points were hard to come by. Only scored 12 against Milan. They put up 17 against South Dearborn. Travis Lecker, he's been around for a while. A nice quarterback there at Batesville. He's thrown for over 500 yards, but he's also thrown 6 interceptions. Which is one more than his touchdown total. And against an East Central defense that flies around and likes to create havoc, their defensive secondary is very, very good with Ringer and Hogue. A couple other guys there, they want to take the ball away from you. Charlie Usen out there as well. These guys have been together for a little bit now, and that's what they kind of thrive on, is coming up and taking the ball away from you and really not giving you anything all night long. So East Central, a heavy favorite in that game on Friday as they look to go to 4-1 on the season. So too will the Lawrenceburg Tigers, also 3-1. They've now won 3 straight games since their opening week loss to East Central. They won at Taylor, won at Milan, and this past weekend they won at Southport, a 45-20 win over that 6A school. That was their replacement game for Greensburg. And as I was talking to Coach Kaniga last week before the Milan game, I said this year is eerily similar to the year you had last year. You come out, lose game 1 to East Central, then you get a hard-fought win against an Ohio school. This year it was Taylor, last year it was Mount Healthy. Dominate Milan in week 3. They've done that 2 years in a row, and then they lose a game due to COVID-19 2 years in a row and go on to defeat 2 6A schools from the Indianapolis area. This year Southport, and last year Arsenal Tech. And Tigers have had back-to-back seasons where they have lost that opener, and then they rattled off 11 straight wins and won the sectional championship, and they would certainly be happy with that each and every year. Yes, I know everyone here in Tiger Town wants to see them eventually get over the hump and beat East Central, team they haven't beaten since 1992. And while that would be absolutely great for the Lawrenceburg football program to say that they have that win under their belt, get that monkey off their back, sectional championships is what is all about, and they won their 20th in program history last year, and they would be delighted to go 11-1 and win a sectional championship again this year. Now, they want to change their best and do better than 11-2, which the regional round has been a little bit different game for Lawrenceburg over the past couple of years, and that's going to be another instance. If they get there this year, that's going to be a very, very tough thing to get through. There's a lot of good teams coming out of the sectional that they would meet in the regional with teams like Gibson Southern, who are very highly ranked up there in Class 3A. Again, we can talk a little bit more about that as the show rolls on. But this Tigers team is starting to find their footing a little bit, like they did last year after that opening week loss to EC. Got to give a shout-out to Garrett Yoon. He has surpassed the 10,000 career yard mark. He actually did that in the win over Milan. Over 7,400 career pass yards, over 3,000 career rushing yards, and he is near 1,000 total yards this season with 9 touchdowns. Luke Pierce, really strong performance against Southport this past Friday, 122 yards on the ground, 2 touchdowns. That was on 11 carries, so yards per carry was nice there for young Luke Pierce. You got Dia Patel, Aiden Gilmore really hitting their strides at wide receiver, and Tegan Bennett has started to become a threat a little bit more as a running back over the past couple weeks, scoring some touchdowns against Milan and Southport. So, like I said, Tigers would welcome another 11-win season. They will have a rematch of last year's 3A sectional championship game with Franklin County this week. Tigers ended up winning that game 49-12. If you remember tuning into your hometown radio station to catch that game last year, the first quarter was back and forth action, and all of a sudden a Luke Pierce interception turned the game on its head, and the Tigers never looked back, going on to an easy sectional championship win. But I already mentioned that Wildcat offense, how prolific they have been so far this year under Wes Gilman. Brady Moorhead, I got to mention him one more time at quarterback. He played and started as a freshman due to an injury that season, so he's got plenty of experience. Didn't get to play last year at quarterback as they brought in Adam Kelly Jr. from Connersville, who did a really nice job for him. But Brady back in there at quarterback, and when you got Bolos and Shattel and some of the Christian Prowls, some of these other kids that play the skill position, easy to spread the ball out, and you know, if he can just kind of make the simple play, they got guys that can take it the distance and create some big explosive plays. So I think this got a chance to be a really, really good matchup on Friday in the pit. We'll bring you pregame coverage at 6:40 with kickoff right at 7 o'clock. And we also want to talk briefly about Milan. 1-3 on the year. They have had 3 straight losses since that opening week win against Rushville. They played Batesville, Lawrenceburg, and Madison these past 3 weeks. That's a tough stretch for them. They get New Miami out of Ohio on Friday. They're going to travel up to Hamilton for this game. We don't know much about New Miami other than they're 1-3 on the season, and they have scored a total of 14 points. They did win this past week, but they've been shut out 3 times. So Milan, a new opponent on their schedule, and should be an interesting matchup, but kind of based on what we're seeing schedule-wise, might be close to an evenly matched game, but Milan may have a little bit of an edge there against New Miami. Certainly wish them luck on Friday. And one more football note before we switch to some soccer talk. Harrison had a really awesome win over Trotwood Madison on Friday, and it all came down to a 2-point conversion. Basically, Derek Rehage and the staff there at Harrison said, "We've come this far, but we didn't come here to lose or anything. Like, we're going for it. We're going to be aggressive." And they went for a 2-point conversion to win the game 29-28. We have the tweet with the video of that 2-point conversion over at EagleCountryOnline.com on the local sports report. You should check it out. It was really, really cool. And to see the team celebrate, that was even better. Just awesome way to win a high school football game. You are listening to Crunch Time. It is presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries, located here in Lawrenceburg and throughout the tri-state. Don't forget, hiring event tomorrow from 6 to 8 p.m. at their Edgewood office in Northern Kentucky. That is full and part-time direct hire positions at their physician clinics, physical therapy centers, and business office in Kentucky. All right. I want to get into some boys and girls soccer. We have plenty of teams here in the area that are ranked or probably right outside of the rankings in boys soccer. East Central, 7-2 on the season. They're 4-0 in the EIAC. Last two wins have been very, very impressive. A 1-0 win over Avon on Saturday. Not easy to beat a team of that caliber. And then a 3-1 win over Lawrenceburg last Thursday. Lawrenceburg highly ranked in Class 2A. But JT Roden, Riley Smith been getting it done as their leading goal scorers. Roden, the top assist man there. And this Trojans team averaging 4 goals per match, allowing just over a goal per match. So this is a team that has got some lofty goals. They are just a few games away from winning the EIAC. That's not unusual for this club. They have won the conference championship a lot over recent years, and they want to win a sectional championship and go even deeper than that. And they got the talent to do it. Lawrenceburg, ranked number 14 in Class 2A. They're 6-2 on the season, 3-1 in the EIAC, right behind the Trojans. They have lost two of their last four after starting 4-0. The losses coming to EC and Connor, two very tough teams. A big EIAC match looming with South Dearborn tomorrow. The Knights, 5-6 on the season, but a very, very talented team that's played a pretty tough schedule, so don't count them out against the Tigers. I will say this, the Tigers have only allowed goals in 3 matches this year. They've lost 2 of those. 7 goals in total that they've given up, but of their 6 wins, 5 have been clean sheets. So this Tigers team does a really good job of keeping the ball out of the net and scoring on their opponent, which is the name of the game in soccer, no duh, right? Batesville, ranked number 16 in Class 2A. They're 8-2, 3-1 in the EIAC. 5-0 loss to Lawrenceburg last month. They've lost in PKs to Shelbyville in an in-season tournament. Other than that, they've been unblemished. Eli Pearson is nearing a 20-goal season already, and they have a huge game looming with East Central on September 27th. If EC, Lawrenceburg, and Batesville kind of remain unbeaten until Batesville and East Central get together, there could potentially be a 3-way tie in the EIAC if Batesville can knock off East Central later in the season. But again, some of these teams still have to go through South Dearborn and others in the EIAC, so still not quite there in terms of conference championship talk. Jacksonville, ranked number 12 in Class 1A. They're 4-3-1, but they're 4-1 in the ORVC, and they have a huge game looming against South Ripley tonight where they can actually take over first place in the conference. They found their footing recently with a 9-0 win over Rising Sun on Friday. They, too, have played a very tough schedule. Some of their losses have come to the ranked teams we just mentioned, like Batesville and Lawrenceburg. Also, Switzerland County, very, very good, both on the boys and girls side. They beat Jacksonville a little bit earlier in the season. And mentioned South Ripley, they're 16th in Class 1A, unbeaten this year, 8-0-1. They're 4-0-1 in the ORVC. Zach Gentile, my goodness, have a year, my friend. 29 goals, according to Max Preps. Ben Miller has been solid with 8 goals and 14 assists. And Logan Betts, 7 assists on the year. Those are going to be the 3 Jacksonville's going to have to hold down tonight if they want to beat the Raiders and climb into first place in the ORVC. In girls soccer, East Central ranked 19th in Class 3A. They're 9-2-1. They, too, 4-0 in the EIAC. 50 goals the Lady Trojans have scored this year. They've only allowed 5, so that's getting it done. 8 girls with 3 or more goals. Olivia Hopper has 7. Caitlin Dick with 7. Ellie Hill has 7. Erica Wells with 6. Their only 2 losses have come against a very good team, Seton, and number 5, Bloomington South, who they only lost to 1-0. So if you just want to kind of look at that game, you can see what kind of talent this team has, playing very, very closely to one of the top 5 teams in the state. East Central will get Rushville on Wednesday, and they are 3 wins away from an EIAC championship. Lawrenceburg, they're rated number 10 in Class 2A at 5-2, 3-1 in the EIAC. They, too, have been very good in the goal differential category. 30 goals this season with 5 against. They have won 4 in a row, outscoring their opponents 20-1 in the process. And the big rivalry game coming up on Wednesday against South Dearborn, who is ranked number 20 in Class 2A. They're 3-6-1 on the season, but they have played an incredibly tough schedule. They have won their last 2 matches over Franklin County and Connersville, keeping 2 clean sheets in that game. The Knights have allowed 25 goals this season. Again, that is partially due to the really strong schedule that they have played. But that number, I think you'll see come down a little bit in terms of goals allowed per game as they get into the back half of the season. Their 2 toughest tests looming against Lawrenceburg and Oldenburg Academy, both are ranked teams. Oldenburg, number 16 in Class 1A. You also have Switzerland County ranked 18th in Class 1A. And unbeaten in the ORVC, they have a big matchup with Rising Sun tomorrow. Big rivalry game there. And then two against Southwestern, where they can win the ORVC if they win those games. Raylan Capps has been good this year, 10 goals. Hallie Archer with 6. Mackenzie Taylor with 5. And Elena Weaver has been really, really strong in goal for the Lady Pacers as they chase an ORVC championship. Speaking of conference championships, congratulations to the Batesville girls golf team as they won the EIAC tournament over the weekend. Outdoing Franklin County and Lawrenceburg for first place. Had Connersville in fourth, EC in fifth, Rushville in sixth, with South Dearborn finishing seventh. So the Lady Bulldogs, EIAC champs in girls golf. You are listening to Crunch Time, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. You can learn more at orthosensi.com. So just a few more minutes left in the program, and as I mentioned a little bit earlier, this is a high school sports show in its majority, but I do want to touch on some Cincinnati sports notes, as I'm very, very happy today that the Cincinnati Bengals are 1-0. Almost let that game get away from them yesterday against the Minnesota Vikings, 27-24 the final, as it went into overtime and Evan McPherson hit the 33-yard field goal as time expired to give the Bengals the win. It was their first home opening win since 2007, and I tell you what, I was really impressed with the defensive line and the pass rush yesterday. Trey Hendrickson, Sam Hubbard, Larry Ogunjobi, DJ Reader, those guys starting on the defensive line, they looked very, very good. They also had some guys rotating in there. They blitzed a little more than maybe we've seen in recent memory, a lot of times with Von Bell or Jesse Bates or Mike Hilton. So this is a defense that really got after the Vikings, did a good job holding down a good running back in Dalvin Cook. I thought Joe Mixon looked really good going over 100 yards. They really leaned on him yesterday, especially after Joe Burrow took a couple hits. Actually went off the field limping in the second half, which was a scary moment. But Joe Burrow himself played very, very solid, very efficient yesterday. Found T. Higgins for a touchdown, hit Jamar Chase for a deep ball, 50-yard touchdown right before the half. That is something we have not seen from this team, particularly with the last coaching regime with Marvin Lewis. When they got inside 2 minutes in the first half and they are backed up in their own territory, they very rarely played aggressive and tried to go get points, and they were able to do that before halftime yesterday. Also, kudos to Jamar Chase blocking out all the noise. Everyone was making fun of him because he couldn't catch a cold in preseason. He didn't drop one ball yesterday, and he scored a big touchdown right before halftime, kind of silencing some haters. He's going to be just fine, folks, and he proved that yesterday. One of the big instances in this game, there was a 4th-and-1 where the Bengals were in their own territory. It was more like 4th-and-inches, and they didn't get it. They were up 14 at the time. Minnesota takes over on downs. They go for it on 4th down, end up scoring a touchdown, and that was kind of the turning point in the game that let Minnesota back into it. I didn't necessarily have a problem with them going for it on 4th-and-inches because they didn't get it. It looks a whole lot worse. If they got the first down, nobody would have been complaining about it. The instance I had a little bit more of a problem with was the 3rd-and-4 out of the 2-minute warning at the end of the fourth quarter, where if they get a first down, the game is over, and they decided to let Joe Mixon try to get that 4 yards on the ground, and they got stuffed and had to get rid of the ball. Joe Burrow, man, you got to give Joe Burrow the chance to get that 4 yards and ice the game. I thought that was a little bit of a gutless call, so I had more of an issue with the 3rd-and-4 call than I did the 4th-and-1, but anyways, they go into overtime. Both teams kind of got the ball and didn't do anything with it. The Bengals got the ball again, stalled, and then it looked like, well, Minnesota's going to win. They're in Bengals territory, marching towards a field goal. And, well, the Bengals did luck out a little bit, forcing a fumble on Dalvin Cook. They looked at it on review. Couldn't really tell one way or another, but since they ruled it a fumble on the field, the Bengals did get the ball. And Evan McPherson, what can I say about the rookie kicker? Nailed a 53-yarder, nailed a 33-yarder to win the game. He got the game ball, and the Bengals go to 1-0 on the season. It's also a fun weekend to be an FC Cincinnati fan. They finally got their first win in their brand new stadium, a 2-0 win over Toronto. I was at the game and I was asking, I was like, what happens when they win a game at the stadium? We don't know if they do anything cool. And they shot off some fireworks and did a cool light show at the end of the game, but the crowd was amazing. Everyone has been thirsty for a win in that stadium, and it was a really, really great atmosphere. And as for the Cincinnati Reds, they have now lost 6 straight series as they are in a pennant race. Still tied with San Diego for the second wild card spot, though, despite playing very poorly over the last couple of weeks. Both teams have gone 4-6 over their last 10. The Reds, now is the time to get it together. 3 games upcoming with the Pittsburgh Pirates. You have to sweep the Pittsburgh Pirates. They stink, because you also have the L.A. Dodgers looming right after that. So all the games are big for the rest of the season for the Reds. There is a litany of teams that are still chasing the Reds and the Pirates that are only a few games away. There could be some madness at the end of the season with some tiebreakers before they even get to that one-game wild card. But the Reds, still very much in the thick of things, have to take care of business against the Pittsburgh Pirates. And with that, that's going to be my final thought of the evening. Appreciate you tuning in here for Crunch Time, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Look them up online, orthosensi.com. Don't forget about the hiring event tomorrow from 6 to 8 at their Edgewood office. And please do tune in again next week for another edition of Crunch Time. 30 minutes of nonstop sports conversation coming your way every Monday from 6 to 6:30 right here on your hometown radio station, The Country 99.3.